From there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The joy of the feast be with you. So we are in the after feast of the meeting of our Lord in the temple this morning. And on this feast we bless candles. We did that yesterday after the divine liturgy. The lit candle is an image of the incarnate Christ, the true light of the world, burning in the flesh that he received from the most blessed Theotokos, the bush who burns without being consumed. At the feast, we read of the prophet Isaiah's vision of the Lord in his heavenly temple, high and lifted up. In this, the church reveals this feast to us as the very substance of Isaiah's vision. Christ is the burning coal, taken from the heavenly altar, and placed like Holy Eucharist given to us on Isaiah's lips, and thereby given to Isaiah in his heart. For in the Bible, the lips open onto the heart. The heart is where the lips go. You speak from your heart. So there's a connection between the lips and the heart. However, for Simeon, It is from the burning bush, the Theotokos. It is not from a seraph that he receives Christ in his arms. From the vision of Isaiah, we are given to know that the Christ Simeon receives is the burning coal that Isaiah received on his lips. In this, we might say that this feast of the meeting, following on the heels of Theophany, brings into public view what is revealed more privately in the feasts of the Annunciation and Christmas. Christ is the true light coming into the world. He is the uncreated light, begotten from uncreated light. He is uncreated fire, begotten from uncreated fire, who now dwells, or should we say, who now burns in the uncreated fire of his Holy Spirit in the temple of our flesh, purifying our bodies, enlivening our souls, sanctifying our minds, even deifying our hearts, and doing all of this from within. With this feast, we leave the season of the winter Pascha, the liturgical season when we cross over from the darkness of the mystical winter and begin making our way into the mystical light of the Lenten spring and to the rising of the Sun of Righteousness on Pascha night. Christmas, Theophany, and the meeting of the Lord, the three feasts of the winter Pascha, because they commemorate the uncreated light of God entering into the world through the heavenly gates of the Theotokos and becoming flesh of her and of the Holy Spirit and dwelling among us, or pitching the tabernacle of his body among us, these feasts are called the true festival of light. With the candles we blessed at the feast, we now leave this season of light. But let's not leave the light. As imaged in the candles that we bless at the feast, let's carry the uncreated light of God within us. We carry it mystically inside our body and our soul. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, says Simeon the righteous, as he prays to the Lord, to his Lord and Master that he holds as a babe in his arms. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, he says. Well, where is Simeon leaving to? Where is he departing to? He is ready now to set out on a mystical exodus to his tomb. But he makes that exodus to his tomb in peace, he says. He makes it in the light of Christ that now shines on, or rather, shines in him. It shines in his dying. It shines in his tomb. That light that shines in Simeon now, in both his dying and in his death, is the very babe he holds in his arms, the burning coal that was placed on Isaiah's lips. That light is incarnate, it's concrete, it's embodied. It is the babe, Jesus Christ. But what is incomprehensible is this. If Simeon is holding the burning coal of God in his arms, it's because that burning coal has become man. He's become flesh. And if he has become man, clothing himself in our flesh, then the burning coal himself, God himself, is also on an exodus to the tomb. That he, and it is there, in the Sabbath rest of his tomb, that he, the Son of God, becomes absolutely one with us, that we might become one with him. The light of God's salvation that Simeon's eyes see, then, is Christ himself, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. But dear faithful, this is the very light. It's the same burning coal that is placed on our lips in Holy Eucharist as we get ready ourselves to depart in peace and to set out in the uncreated light that we now hold in our souls and bodies, as Simeon held him in his arms, as we set out now for our Lenten journey to the tomb of God's Sabbath rest, the mystery of God's holy Pascha. Saint Simeon says to the beloved Panagia, the Virgin Theotokos, he says, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and as a sign to be spoken against, in order to uncover," in other words, to raise to the light, "the secret thoughts of many hearts." With this, I think the Church is illumining for us the substance and the goal and the purpose of her Lenten exodus to Pascha, for which she is now getting us ready. Simeon's word to the beloved Theotokos takes us to Hebrews. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, the uncreated fire and true light who has come into the world, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, to discern the inmost secret thoughts and intentions of the heart. The substance of this Lenten exodus is mystical. It's unseen. It's spiritual. It's an exodus of the soul to the heart. The mystical goal of this Lenten exodus is our spiritual heart. The purpose of this Lenten exodus is to lead us, in the light of Christ's Holy Spirit, into the wilderness of our soul, and to illumine what is hidden in our spiritual heart, in order to bring us to that critical moment when we choose either to leave our idols behind and serve God, or to leave God behind, to betray him as did Judas, and serve our idols. This last week, our gospel reading on Thursday and Friday was of the rich young ruler who asks the Lord, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" We were in this gospel for 2 days. It must hold a very important lesson the Church wants us to learn. You remember that the Lord says to the rich young ruler, "One thing you lack. Sell all that you have." In other words, deny yourself. Lose your life for my sake. "And come, follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven." When the rich young man heard these words, he went away, grieving, for it says he was very rich. See how the Lord's word illumined what was hidden in the rich young ruler's heart. It was his love for earthly riches. But this was not the critical moment for the rich young ruler. The critical moment was when the rich young ruler, seeing the one thing he lacked in his heart, as illumined by the light of Christ, chose to leave Christ rather than to acknowledge that he lacked anything. In contrast, we have the gospel this morning of the Canaanite woman. Here it is the Lord's word, first as silence, then as a sharp rebuke, even what sounds like an insult, that reveals what was hidden in this woman's heart. But even though she was rebuked, even insulted, she chose in her critical moment to stay. And how ineffably sweet, how life-giving must the word have been to her soul that she heard directly from the Lord himself, "Dear woman, how great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And it says her daughter was healed in that very hour. Dear faithful, the Lord's words are true words. He does not speak falsehood. The rich young ruler really did lack one thing. The Canaanite woman really was no better than a dog. The word of the Lord pierced to the division of their soul and spirit and illumined what was hidden in their hearts. beneath the righteousness of the rich young ruler. Because you remember, he says, I kept everything, all of these things, from my youth up. He was a very good religious man. But beneath his righteousness was a vanity and a self-righteousness that blinded him and caused him to experience the penetrating word of the Lord as a sharp, two-edged sword of pain he could not tolerate or would not tolerate. He went away grieved, it says. Might we believe that he went away deeply offended and angered? The Canaanite woman, on the other hand, full of love for her daughter, showed an uncommon depth of meekness and humility, the substance of her great faith. And she experienced the Lord's word as the profound spiritual pleasure of a deep therapy, a purging fire, a healing and life-creating light. If she was no better than a dog, she became a woman of heavenly beauty, and she is now honored by the church as a saint, a model of saving and godly humility. This then is what lies before us if, in fact, we do in sincerity take the light of Christ with us into Great Lent as we carry our lit candles. You could say that that light of Christ is the cross we are commanded to take up if we would follow him. The light of Christ in the shape of the cross, the two-edged sword, will illumine us down to our hearts. In that light, we will be granted to see, as far as the Lord knows that we can bear it, the one thing that we lack, the dog that we really are. If we can come down from the high horse of the rich young ruler in us and humble ourselves like the Canaanite woman, we will receive that fiery word of Christ as the cleansing and the healing of our souls. And in our hearts that have been purified, we will be granted to enter the tomb of our heart as into the bridal chamber of the Lord's empty tomb, and to taste and see in the light of Christ's holy resurrection how good is the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Christ is in our midst.